You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Our frequency celebrates diversity. For a full program schedule, go online to ckuw.ca.
The following is an encore presentation from CKUW's archives. Join us next week when the regular host will be back with a few new episodes of original programming.
Welcome back to CKUW 95.9 FM. This is the program System Kids, brought to you by Voices, Manitoba's Youth in Care Network. My name is Mary. I am the outreach coordinator here at Voices, and today I am joined with Maiva, our practicum student, and Aaron, our manager. We always like to start off with an icebreaker, and today's question for you guys is, what are some healthy boundaries that you have set recently?
Thanks, Mary. I'll go first, if that's okay. Something that I've learned to do is listen to my body. I do have a bit of a spinal injury, so my boundary that I've been setting is actively not lifting anything or asking for, like, needing to make sure that I ask for help if I need to move things that are a little bit too heavy. So that's the kind of boundary I've set.
Yeah, that's a really nice boundary, and it's really important to listen to your body, Aaron. For me, I'd say a boundary I've set would be just to say no more and really, like, listen to, I guess, my feelings and just really taking into account how I feel in a situation. If I'm uncomfortable, it's okay to say no. If I feel like I'll be unsafe, it's okay to say no. If I just want to be at home instead of going out, it's okay to say no. So, yeah, that's something I have been trying to do a lot more. So
I'm in the same boat as you, Maiva, and mostly just, yeah, saying no to weekend plans, because as Maiva knows, the semester started and it gets really busy really quickly, and when we're working or doing practicum, our most crucial times is usually on our weekends to study. And so I've just been getting good at saying no to plans and just trying not to feel guilty about it ultimately. And I told all my friends already, I'm like, look, I love you guys, but please don't invite me to go out. It's just not going to happen right now. If we could do maybe a lunch or a dinner, but that's my capacity. And of course, they're good friends. They understand, right?
That's a great boundary to develop. I struggle with saying no as well. Usually my calendar is filled to the brim until I finally, my body gives out and I get sick, and then it's like, nope, can't do anything now at all.
Sometimes we have to kind of learn the hard ways, right? Yeah. And it's like not even saying no because, like, I don't want to do it. Of course I want to go out and have fun and do those things, but it's just saying no because we have to sometimes,
yeah,
right? Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing, guys. I hope that our listeners can also reflect on what some healthy boundaries that they have set recently are. So we're going to jump into some updates for you guys. Let's start with Empower You. We've kicked it back up in the new year, and our next program will be on the 26th, and we're going to be talking about taxes. Tax season is coming up, and it's important we know how to do our taxes, what benefits are available when we do our taxes, as well as how to access low-barrier resources that can do our taxes for us. So if you're interested, you can always reach out to us and let us know you'd like to attend, or feel free to drop in. We always have a meal ready for you guys as well. We also have Earl Cook Classic coming up in March. That is a hockey game where youth in and from care averse their supports in tribute to Earl Cook and his legacy. We're not sure on exact dates right now, but please stay tuned to find out. We will be sending out an RSVP registration form to all of you that are interested in joining. And for those of you that may be interested, there is a vigil at the Ledge on January 29th that is National Day of Remembrance and Action Against Islamophobia. You can reserve a spot at eventbrite.ca. Again, that's 6 p.m. at The Ledge on January 29th. The Voices team will be there, so we'd love to see some familiar faces in the crowd. And we also want to share with you guys that we will be having a winter drive on February 6th here at our office at 61 Juno Street. We're going to have some winter gear for you guys, so winter jackets, mittens, toques, whatever we need for this cold weather. You can drop in between 10 and 5 p.m. to check out what we got, and we also have interview clothes for anyone that might be interested. If you'd like to RSVP and let us know that you want to come check it out, you can email me at mary@voices.mb.ca, but you're also more than welcome to just drop in and see what we got. Again, you can always find us on the third floor of 61 Juno Street. Our number is 204-982-4956. You can give us an email at ask@voices.mb.ca, where you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Voices, M-Y-I-C-N. That's going to take us into our rights highlight. Maiva, what do you have for us today?
Thank you, Mary, for all the updates. So for our first right, we have the United Nations Conventions on the Rights of a Child, summary of Article 27. Article 27 is, states must ensure every child has an adequate standard of living for their physical, mental, spiritual, moral, and social development. Parents or guardians hold the primary responsibility to provide these living conditions within their means. Governments should support them when needed, including offering material help like nutrition, clothing, and housing programs. States must also take steps to secure financial support for the child from parents or other responsible, even across borders, by using international agreements or other suitable arrangements. So I want to ask you guys, why do you think this right is important for youth in care?
I think ultimately this right is telling us that just because a child is not in a position to have their needs met by their biological guardian, that there is still a responsibility of the government to make sure that those needs are being met, and not just basic needs, but our physical, mental, spiritual, moral, and social developmental needs as well.
And I just think that this right is really important, that it's actually concrete on paper, so people can actually refer to it and say, this child's rights are being violated, and this is the right that's being violated. It really helps to have that backup when you're advocating for youth, whether they're in care or not. So mm-hmm. I think it's really, really important that this mm-hmm. that this right is in print.
Yeah, and I feel like also it's really good that they mentioned that it's also the government's responsibility or the state's responsibility to support parents and guardians or guardians to ensure that the child or the youth in care has an adequate standard of living. All right, so thank you guys for the little conversation. So our second right that I will talk about today is the United Nations Declarations on the Rights of Indigenous People. And this will be also an Article 27. So states shall establish and implement, in conjunction with Indigenous peoples concerned, a fair, independent, impartial, open, and transparent process giving due recognition to Indigenous peoples' laws, tradition, customs, and land tenure systems to recognize and advocate the rights of Indigenous peoples pertaining to their land, territories, and resources, including those which were traditionally owned or otherwise occupied or used. Indigenous people shall have the right to participate in this process.
Thanks for sharing that right, Maiva. I know that right is a little bit of a mouthful, and sometimes it can be hard to quite take out what's important from these summaries of these rights, and that's why we like to break them down. I think Article 27 is establishing a new process where Indigenous people have the right to be a part of any processes that have to do with them and the land, traditions, or customs, and that these processes need to be transparent. And I think that this is important because historically, it wasn't always transparent, and historically, the treaties weren't always honored, and so it's important that, again, it's in writing that we're stating that they do have the right for that to change, and that's so we don't repeat any of the harms that had been done in the past.
Thank you, Mary. That was an awesome reflection on that article. And just to finish off our rights segment, rights are interconnected. Always remember your four B's. You have the right to be healthy, be safe, be heard, and be yourself.
All right, that's going to take us into our first song break. We have Grieving by Leith Ross. Hello and welcome back to CKUW 95.9 FM. This is the program System Kids, brought to you by Voices, Manitoba's Youth and Care Network. We got a community connection for you guys today. Erin, who are we shouting out?
We are going to shout out The Link Youth and Family Supports. They are located at 175 Mayfair Avenue in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Their phone number is 204-477-1722. You can email them at info@thelink.mb.ca. They also are located in Thompson. So if you're out in Thompson, their address is 102-83 Churchill Drive, Thompson, Manitoba. And their phone number there is 204-677-7870. And again, their email address is info@thelink.mb.ca. So The Link is an organization that supports children, youth, adults, and families with the goal of building an inclusive community that fosters belonging, pride, and purpose. Their work is based on compassion, community, and empowerment. They offer a crisis hotline that you can text or call if you feel as though you are in a crisis. They also offer emergency shelters that operate 24/7 for youth from the age of 12 to 20. Counseling is also offered for a variety of different people. There's drop-in counseling, family therapy, a parent group, addiction services, and therapy specific to help people cope when in crises. Community support services are also offered, such as supporting youth in care and their families, and a text service to help people trying to leave the gang life. Indigenous Initiatives is a team that works to connect youth to skills, knowledge, traditional languages, experiences, and land-based practices for Indigenous families. Youth Hub is a safe space for youth from the ages of 12 to 29, where they can hang out and have access to a range of resources, such as mental health, food, showers, etc. They also offer a medical clinic offering low barrier access to primary health care and education supports for youth and families.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Erin. The Link really has everything wrapped up in one nice bundle. So if any of that sounds interesting to you, please do check them out. And I believe their drop-in hours are from 8:30 to 7 p.m. at the Youth Hub Monday to Friday, as well as Saturday 10 to 4 p.m. Next up, we have our child welfare in the news segment. Today, I have an article from CBC News titled "Dirty Clothes, Lack of Supervision, CFS Agency Raises Concerns About Emergency Placements." Failing to report when a child is missing, sending kids to school in soiled clothes, and refusing to learn how to treat a little girl's medical condition are just a few of the concerns being raised by a Manitoba child welfare agency about emergency placement staff. CBC News learned about those incidents through a response to a Freedom of Information request from Anamiki Azawson Child and Family Services, a Winnipeg agency that largely helps kids with ties to First Nations in Ontario. The agency's response details dozens of concerns with those placements, including workers not showing kids how to brush or floss their teeth, sending them to school with highly inadequate lunches, and refusing to take them for free outings, such as trick-or-treating on Halloween. Longtime foster mom Jamie Pfau says hearing about the conditions some children experience in emergency placements breaks her heart, especially knowing some end up staying there much longer than the intended 30-day limit. These children are being raised in a residential facility. They're not celebrated when they get a good grade in school. They can't have a birthday party like everybody else, said Pfau, who is also president of the Manitoba Foster Parent Association. Emergency placements are supposed to be stopgaps in Manitoba's child welfare system, a last resort used for a short period of time in particular situations, such as when a child is first apprehended or because social workers need time to find a placement with specialized support. Concerns about those placements come as the province tries to stop child welfare agencies from overusing them by charging hefty daily fees for kids left in those spots too long. A policy advocate say will further strain agencies whose resources are already spread thin. Enamiki Ozasin says it only puts children in emergency placements after making extensive effort to find a foster home. When a child needs a placement urgently at the end of a business day, and when there aren't other options available. The agency said there's not a lot of nurturing towards the children placed in emergency placements, describing a steady decline in the ability of those placements to supportively care for kids over the past 6 years, and staff who don't have proper training or experience. Staff will also use the fact that the placements are intended to be short-term as a reason not to engage with the kids in their care, such as refusing to walk them to school, reportedly due to staff perceiving it as a long-term commitment, the agency said. Jennifer Hedges, an assistant professor in the University of Manitoba's Faculty of Social Work and a former social worker, says situations where emergency placement workers are sending kids to school in dirty or inappropriate clothes are not teaching them how to brush their teeth shouldn't be happening, and if they are, it's important to find out why. Manitoba Families Minister Nahani Fontaine says agencies that have concerns with an emergency placement need to report them to the province. Enamiki Ozasin Child and Family Services said in a statement it has reported concerns about kids' care, supervision, and needs in emergency placements to the province.
Thank you, Mary. That was a very disheartening article, but necessary for our listeners to hear. Mm-hmm. This just goes to show that there is lack of funding, lack of training, because the support that these children are supposed to be receiving is falling way short. Of course, the staff may think that it's only going to be 30 days, but they know full well that it can be over the 30 days. And also, in 30 days, you can make a connection with a child. You can teach some of those life skills, such as brushing your teeth or how to do laundry or, you know, any kind of age-appropriate chores or personal hygiene. And you can make a child feel special in those 30 days. If they have a birthday in those 30 days, how hard is it to get them a cupcake? I mean, honestly, like, I think it's deplorable that these children are being treated this way. And I'm glad that there's light being shone on this situation, and more needs to be done.
Absolutely. I really have a hard time wrapping my head around this kind of fear of making connection with children who are in these situations. Being in an emergency placement is one of the hardest situations you can be in child welfare. So I'm just not really understanding why, you know, the most isn't being done to make these circumstances semi-enjoyable given, you know, the context of the situation.
Yes.
And making a connection can be as easy as doing a puzzle together.
Mm-hmm.
And even if the child's only there for a day, you can still do something with that child to make them feel special, make them feel safe, make them feel that they're important. I mean, that's what it is that we need to do. We need to take care of our children that are in these situations. It absolutely breaks my heart that they are not being well taken care of. And we see it at Voices. We hear the stories from the youth, and we know that this is happening. So we do our very best here at Voices to make each of our participants feel special and heard and looked after.
That's going to take us into our second song break. We have Medicine by Sebastian Gaskin.
My baby, she a dancer. Yeah, my baby, she a cancer. And she got me so enamored. Yeah, she got the golden standard. Baby, she a dancer. Yeah, my baby, she a cancer. And she got me so enamored. Yeah, she got the golden standard. And she hold me down when I'm touching roll. Give it to me dirty when I'm getting old. Give it to me straight when I'm making soul. All the character when I'm out the door. And she got me like,
Cause you know I've been smoking in this liquor brown. And I'm about to tell you how I feel right now. Cause lately I've been starving and I'm trying to eat. Sunday morning we be tangled in the sheets. Cause I've been on the road for like a couple weeks. And baby we ain't nothing but some lovers. And she got me like, down and needing help. It's you and me forever, baby, sickness and in hell. And you, sometimes it gets complicated, stuck in miscommunication. Sometimes we get frustrated, but I'm here for you and everything you do. Got me feeling like we made it. Finally on top, we say, girl, you got me like,
welcome back to CKUW 95.9 FM. This is the program System Kids, brought to you by Voices, Manitoba's Youth in Care Network. We are now in the second half of our show, and today we're going to be discussing wellness. And wellness is about a state of well-being that goes beyond just physical health. It involves caring for ourselves and balancing different areas of our life, such as our physical health, our mental health, emotional health, our spiritual health, and our social health. So some examples of physical health are moving our body or our diet and the nutrition that we put into our bodies. Mental health is, of course, taking care of our minds. That could look like limiting screen time and making sure that we're keeping up with our brain health. Emotional health is all about connection and making sure that we know how to regulate our emotions when they appear in our bodies. And spiritual health is whatever makes us feel connected to the world around us and others around us. And social health is about being in a social atmosphere. We are social creatures by nature. So how do we keep ourselves healthy in that sense? That is what we're going to be discussing today. So Aaron and Maiva, what is something that you guys think of when you hear the word wellness?
You know, wellness is such a, it seems like a small word for such a big topic, right? Mm-hmm. Because wellness means different things to different people. And you're right. I mean, there's so many different parts to wellness. And I think it's making sure that we spend time on each one and give more to one that's lacking and less to one that's being okay, just to keep that balance. So I think of the medicine wheel in order to keep that balance. And poor mice, like if I'm not being very social and, you know, in that way, and I feel that that's lacking, then I make plans to make sure that I am taking care of my social well-being. So that's just, and even with, if I'm feeling struggling mentally, then I focus a little bit more on my mental health and I can talk to a mental health professional if needed, just to make sure that that is being taken care of. So that's what wellness means to me.
And for those that may not know, Erin, could you tell us what the medicine wheel is?
So a medicine wheel is a sacred Indigenous symbol representing the interconnectedness of all life, often a circle divided into four colored sections: physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual aspects of being.
The medicine wheel is really taking a holistic approach to wellness and covering all domains of what it means to practice wellness. And like Aaron mentioned earlier, when one of those domains is lacking or unbalanced, we feel it. And it's important we get in tune so we can understand what area might need some more attention or might need some healing. So let's talk about mental and emotional well-being. When you guys think of these words, what do they mean to you? What does that look like in practice in your life?
So when it comes to mental and emotional well-being, I kind of think about what I said in the icebreaker earlier about really listening to what I'm feeling. So if I feel uncomfortable, it's okay to say no. I'm someone who cries a lot. And that's kind of just like a first response for a lot of emotions for me. And instead of suppressing that, if the time is appropriate, it's okay for me to cry if I need to get it out. And sometimes you just feel better after, or, you know, sometimes I'll be really excited about something and it's okay to, you know, maybe jump around or dance or something like that if you're just really excited. So for me, it's just letting myself feel what I want to feel emotionally and mentally. It's just taking breaks if I need to take breaks. Like when we work and go to school, it's really important, like Mary said, to just sometimes just be like, no, I can't go out, or no, I can't do this, or yes, I want to do this because it does help me. So yeah, that's what I would say for that question.
Excellent. That's beautiful, Maiva. I couldn't agree more. And your time here, you've really developed the skills of being able to say no when things are getting overwhelmed with workload.
Thank you.
And that's really, really important. And I'm so glad that you're learning that skill.
Thank you so much. That's so nice.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to emotional health, we mentioned it earlier, but regulating our emotions and understanding what emotions are when they appear as feelings in our body, because every emotion triggers, you know, a different reaction, a different sensation. And the more that we try not to suppress those or push them away and we just feel them, we let our body do its thing. We're meant to feel those emotions. We're meant to feel angry sometimes, or sad sometimes, or frustrated sometimes. But you feel it, you understand why you're feeling it, and then that can give us some tools as how to, you know, best react to those emotions in ourselves, as well as understanding the emotions of others, right? Emotional intelligence is, in my opinion, one of the most important forms of intelligence. It helps us navigate the relationship that we have with ourselves as well as the relationship that we have with others.
So, Mary, what does social well-being mean to you?
So, I will speak for those out there that do identify as being introverts. And this being said, extrovert and introvert is a spectrum, and I believe most people fall in the middle of this spectrum. Well, I do know some people that are, you know, highly extroverted, but of course they still need time to reset and recoup and will have introvert behaviors. And some people are more on the introverted side where, you know, they feel like they're charging their battery when they're with themselves, and that, you know, being social can be exhausting. And I would say I fall more on the spectrum of being an introvert. I do have behaviors, of course, that are extroverted at times, but I think it's important to acknowledge that just because you may be a little more introverted doesn't mean that, you know, you don't need to be social or to be around others. Again, it's a part of our human nature to be this way. We are social creatures, but finding activities that you can do that don't drain your battery. So for example, an introvert could go hang out at a library and still be to themselves, but you're still around other people. I think even going to the gym is a good example, because most people at the gym, they keep to themselves, they have their music on, but you're still kind of getting that social fix itched, right? At least I find this for myself to be helpful. And I also find work is such a wonderful way to be social. I get to spend time with people that are like-minded and passionate about the same things I am, and we're here for the same purpose, is that it really doesn't feel exhausting. You know, it feels rejuvenating. So I think social well-being is just making sure that it's okay to be alone, but not that we're lonely. Because when we're lonely, that's when, you know, we can start feeling negative feelings. And again, we're social creatures. We need that interaction with other human beings. We need that connection. It's just doing it at your own pace and in what way works best for you. All right, Erin, I have a question for you next. What does spiritual well-being mean to you?
To me, it actually means hope and having something to look forward to. I find this very, very important in my life. So what my husband and I do is we book cabins sometimes out in the Whiteshell or someplace new, but usually in a nice wooded area where we can really connect with nature and really reconnect with each other and have those long talks without being interrupted by the everyday. And I find that it actually refills my spiritual well-being, because I am connected with nature. I connect with my husband. We, you know, get away from our everyday and we focus on ourselves and our well-being. So to me, it's hope and having something to look forward to.
Oh, I love that. Thanks so much for sharing that, Erin. And I think you nailed it on the head that spiritual well-being is really about being connected to the world around us, to those around us. And I really like the philosophy of having a hope or purpose for the future. Like, we need that as people, right? So very well said.
It's like a driving force, right? It helps you to keep going and keep, because sometimes in life you just feel stuck and you feel that, you know, no matter where you turn, it's a blockade. But you know what? You put something on your calendar that you're looking forward to, it changes everything. Even if it's like a pedicure appointment, even if it's a haircut, just put something in your calendar that is enjoyable, that you can, you know, really just focus in on your own well-being. That will give you some hope and help you to make that step forward.
Absolutely. And I like, you know, the phrases and sayings like to be in good spirits or to keep your spirits up. That's what I think of spiritual well-being. It's like, well, what does that really mean to be in good spirits? It's like, well, I'm doing good. Like, you know, and you can see someone's spirit when you meet them. And, you know, some people, despite being in really difficult circumstances, just have such an amazing spirit that gets them through the hardest of times. And, you know, they're probably applying some of those philosophies. They're working towards something. Even if something's not the way we want it right now, we can have that hope, and that will keep our spirits up and keep us guided on the path we want to be in life. Do you guys find that any of these domains of well-being in your life are more a priority than others?
That's a good question. In our line of work, I do find sometimes my mental and emotional well-being. Some days I feel really, really drained, I must say. Not that I don't love my job. I love my job, but it takes me a little while to recharge my batteries. So that is one that I do kind of have to refill that cup a little bit more often than I do from any of the other domains.
Yeah, definitely. I would say that I do tend to prioritize mental and emotional as well. And I think it really just depends on what phase we are in our life, what external priorities we have that really will, you know, either drain one of those domains or really fill them up. And it's just, again, it's just important to be in tune with what we're feeling so that we can tend to and nurture the area in our life that we need to.
Thanks, Mary. That's, both of your reflections on that question are like really good. For me, I find that I prioritize mental health as well. And like I said, I'm kind of trying to learn to prioritize my emotional well-being. Or my mental well-being as well just kind of takes a bit of a priority, just because I feel like I'm very sure of what I need to feel better. Yeah, I'd say that. And it's a good thing for sure to prioritize those things. But I also think it's important, like we talked about earlier, that we need to learn to balance everything.
Awesome. Thanks so much for sharing, guys. That is going to wrap up our show for today, but just some final reflections that wellness is about living in a way that supports balance, resilience, and a sense of fulfillment, and it is not just the absence of illness. Thank you so much for listening. Again, you can reach out to us on social media at Voices MYICN. You can give us a call at 204-982-4956, and you can always email us at ask@voices.mb.ca. Thank you for listening and tuning into the show, and we hope you are enjoying today, and we look forward to hearing from all of you soon. Bye.
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 CKUW 95.9 FM, listener-driven radio in Winnipeg.
It's that time of year again. CKUW's Fun Drive starts on Friday, February the 6th. Fun Drive is where we ask for donations from listeners just like you. Community donations make up a quarter of our operating budget. It is this community support that keeps us a grassroots and independent radio station year-round. Go to fundrive.ckw.ca to donate. With your CKUW Friends card, you are supporting CKUW 95.9 FM and our friends in the community. 100% of your donations go to the general operations at CKUW 95.9 FM. And with a Friends card, your dollars will get you more at
the King Cobb Market Pub at 580 Ellis Avenue, your local arts and craft beer pub. With a rotating selection of local beer, art, music, and Southern-inspired pub eats, your 10% discount on all food and selected taps makes this West End neighborhood pub an ideal place to start, end, or even be your next night out. Be sure to check out their Bella Vista nights every Wednesday for free live music sponsored by CKUW 95.9 FM. Fiercely local.
Join CKUW's community of support by donating $35 during Fun Drive in February to get a Friends card and get access to more deals around Winnipeg.
From the red. Pine trees, pine breeze.